Sprouse Rides, San Francisco, 1960 to 1967. During the summers, I worked at my dad's dime store, saving my earnings for milkshakes, school clothes, and college. He taught me how to work as soon as I was old enough to be employed. First, he showed me how to maneuver the giant push broom up and down the aisles. Next, how to stock shelves, track inventory, run the register, and then how to wait on customers and watch for shoplifters. He broke it down one job at a time and didn't give me a new task until I learned to do the last one. I liked working. I got to be with my dad. I worked half days at first. Daddy let me sit, maybe because I was young, or maybe because I looked pale. If I stood for too long, my stomach hurt. I had a constant gnawing inside me. When my anxiety got worse, it escalated to a swarm of grasshoppers. When it got too bad, when it felt like I had a horde of locusts ricocheting off my insides and I doubled over, Daddy took me to a doctor who said I had pancreatitis, put me on a low-fat diet, and also suggested I stay out of the store's candy bins. Changing what I ate helped. I seldom ventured beyond the store, so whatever ambled in was my sum total experience of the larger world. I remember one late June afternoon, a boy, not quite my age, maybe 14, slender, blonde, and nervous, needed help. He wanted to buy a bra. Too embarrassed, especially when I realized he wanted it for himself, I summoned Daddy. At that age, I wouldn't even look at a boy, much less help one buy a brassiere. I disappeared to the back of the store to check on the paint cans. My father fitted him, rang him up, bagged his purchase, two 32 AAAs, politely thanked him, and never batted an eyelash. The next day, a couple of tall, brassy black bombshells with high cleavage and spiked heels promenaded through the front doors and over to the yardage section, browsing the Butterick patterns and dime store velvet. The regular customers preferred solid cotton and calico, unless it was Christmas or New Year's. As the redhead fingered the shiny sateen and taffeta, the bleach blonde settled on scarlet velveteen. While I ran the bolt through the metal measuring machine anchored to the pullout shelf, I surreptitiously observed them from the corner of my eye as they picked out two spools of matching crimson thread. Their Adam's apples and large hands didn't catch my attention until I rang up their purchases. Across the counter, I checked out their wigs, false eyelashes, arched eyebrows, red lipstick, and faces heavy on the pancake makeup. As they sashayed out the front doors, primly adjusting their tight miniskirts, they both turned and threw me a wink and a kiss. Daddy elbowed me, nearly knocking me over. "Quit gawking," he said out of the corner of his mouth, barely moving his lips. I couldn't help it. I'd never seen a transvestite. And for the second time in 2 days, I was stunned my father didn't raise an eyebrow. For a man who made it abundantly clear that anything sexual was indecent, improper, and immoral, it simply didn't compute.